Geek Radio Daily for Not Monday. And really, by now, shouldn't they have picked? Should people still be arguing over what the best freaking commercial was in the Super Bowl? Really? Really? It was too, nobody cares anymore. Harrison Ford, you were slightly amusing. You didn't say get off of my plane, so I hold that against you. Hi, we are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places like that. The folks bringing it to you today, the man who has to almost every single day explain to somebody why, no, technology is actually good for you. It helps your life. That there's Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Tyler, cybernetic skeptic.
Never doubt the cybernetics, ever. Hi there, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You have a talent for sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong.
Well, how else am I going to get where I'm not supposed to be? Think about it. What happened this fine, fantastical day there, sir?
I would just like to go on the record that I chuckled many times at the T-Mobile ads. I loved the Avengers trailer. I felt that the Bud Light commercials were silly in just the right way. Turns out that Bud Light is putting out more Game of Thrones content than George R.R. Martin is, but the best commercial out of all of them was the trailer for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Woo!
Yeah. In 1850, the first U.S. patent for a push-key-operated adding machine is issued to Dubois D. Parmalee of New Paltz, New York.
1861, a patent is issued to Coleman Sellers of Philadelphia for the kinetoscope. People did have better names back then.
1870, in Philadelphia, the first motion picture is presented to a theater audience by Henry R. Heil using a phasmotrope. A phasmotrope is a converted projected lantern with a rotating disc mounted to its front and 16 openings near the edge, each of which carries a photographic plate. The plates hold a series of animation cells depicting dancers who appear to move as the rotating discs spin.
1879, Joseph Swan demonstrates a light bulb using carbon glow for the first time.
1897, the Indiana State House Legislature passes Bill number 246, which in effect assigns pi the value of exactly 3.2.
Well, the math doesn't even check out on that. What the hell are they doing? 1899, Thomas Edison has issued a patent for the phonograph recorder and reproducer.
Oh, that's where little thumbnails come from.
Yep.
In 1932, CBS affiliate W2XAB broadcast the first educational television programming in the U.S.
1936, Charlie Chaplin releases the last movie of the silent film era, Modern Times.
In 1958, Jack Kilby of Texas Instruments files a patent application for miniaturized electronic circuits. Kilby's device connects several transistors by flying wires. Ooh.
1958, a hydrogen bomb known as the Tybee bomb is lost by the U.S. Air Force off the coast of Savannah, Georgia, never to be recovered. Why is this not a plotline of a story?
Why is it not a plotline of a Nicolas Cage movie?
Right?
Or was that the plot of the John Travolta movie Broken Arrow? 1961, the Soviet Union launches Sputnik V, the heaviest satellite yet put into space at 7.1 tons. If you're not familiar with Sputnik, it's spherical and quite pointy at parts.
1967, the NASA Lunar Orbiter 3 is launched. It will orbit the moon in order to photograph its far side for potential 11-12 landing sites before impacting on the lunar surface on command.
1971, the NASA manned lunar lander Antares of Apollo 14 lands near the Frau Muro region of the moon.
1974, the NASA space probe Mariner 10 returns the first close-up photos of the cloud structures in circulation of Venus.
I was more of a fan of Aquaman 10. 1985, Namco enters into an agreement with Warner Communications to acquire a controlling interest in the coin-operated game division of Atari Games for about $10 million. Man, that's so many quarters.
1997, the online Victoria's Secret fashion show attracts over 1.5 million visitors, becoming the first major webcast in history. As ex-hamster giggles.
2003, electronics retailer Circuit City announces that it is laying off approximately 3,900 members of its highly paid commissioned sales force and converting to an hourly pay structure in a move intended to reduce company expenses. They, of course, ended up going out of business because they didn't listen to the wonderful Billy Flynn.
They fired the people that sold the most product for them. They let them go work at other retail places. I mean, 2007, NASA astronaut Lisa Nowak is arrested in Orlando, Florida, on charges of allegedly trying to kidnap U.S. Air Force Captain Colleen Shipman, a rival for the romantic affections of a space shuttle pilot from the Orlando International Airport. She's the one that put on a diaper and drove to Florida from Houston, Texas, without stopping, eastbound and down.
So what you're telling me is that sometimes love isn't a rocket science.
Depends.
2008, British scientists announced the successful creation of human embryos containing DNA from two women and a man. I think I accidentally watched that movie. In a procedure they hope may one day be used to produce embryos free of inherited diseases.
Like a master race, if you will. Birthdays?
Jeez. Darren Criss, 32 years old, Blaine in Glee, an American Horror Story hotel, as well as the murder of Giovanni Versace.
Chris Parnell is 52 from Saturday Night Live. Hot Rod, 30 Rock, is Cyril on Archer.
So many good things. Laura Linney is 56 years old from The Truman Show and Mystic River and a whole other slew of great things, too.
Odd more stuff isn't written down. Jennifer Jason Leigh is 57 years of age from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Single white female, Hateful Eight.
Tim Meadows, 58 years old from SNL, Son of Zorn. But I just love him as the ladies' man. Yeah.
Jonathan Freeman, 69 years of age, a ton of vocal work, and you best know him as the voice of Jafar.
Tom Wilkinson, 71, from Rush Hour, Batman Begins. He was Carmine Falcone. Just a whole bunch of stuff, too. A lot of heavy hitters today.
Barbara Hershey, 71, from The Right Stuff, Insidious 2.
Christopher Guest, 71 years old, from Spinal Tap, Mighty Wind, was Count Rugen in Princess Bride. And created not only one of the coolest bad guys, but also defined a way of making movies that are improvised.
David Selby, 78 years of age, from Dark Shadows and Raise the Titanic.
Dick Warlock. I need to get that on business card. 79 years old. He's a stuntman and actor. He was Michael Myers on Halloween 2.
He's done so many stunts you've seen. 1906, no longer with us, John Carradine, an American actor and singer from Stagecoach, Grapes of Wrath, House of Frankenstein.
1914, William S. Burroughs, an American author and painter, is very well known for Naked Lunch.
And singing that one song with R.E.M. 1919, Red Buttons, an American actor and singer. People like the way he talks.
Yeah, okay, way back in the vaudeville days, too. 1919, Tim Holt, American actor and singer from Treasure of Sierra Madre, and also from Stagecoach.
Hey, they had a birthday party. 1940, H.R. Giger, Swiss painter, sculptor, and set designer. He, of course, made the alien and the creature from Species and other things that haunt your nightmares.
And if you were to pick a style for all of H.P. Lovecraft stuff, Geiger's stuff is what comes to mind.
Yeah.
In 1951, Robert David Sachs. He was Ethan in Buffy.
Oh, no. Ethan?
On TV on CBS, we've got the world's best and the State of the Union, which is probably not going to be the world.
I think it's the real this time. It's actually ABC, New American Housewife, The Kids Are All Right, and allegedly for real, the State of the Union, which has been scrapped to be talking about a stupid wall.
NBC has a new Ellen's Game of Games, and find out who's really at fault in the State of the Union.
Fox, it's Mixed and Masks on a new The Masked Singer. And oh my God, this time State of the Union. Last week they're like, we're not even going to put it on the schedule. We know it ain't happening. But they know it's happening now. They were told specifically by Donnie.
Well, they didn't want to compete with the lead up to the Super Bowl.
It's true.
CW has a new Flash, and Where Have All the Cowboys Gone on a new Roswell, New Mexico.
On Freeform, when Callie and Mariana's moms visit their new apartment, things get out of hand on a new Good Trouble.
AMC has Castaway.
Bravo has the reunion for this season's Below Deck.
FX has Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
FXX The Simpsons, Pork and Burns, Homer the Father, and Little Girl in the Big Ten. Not the Small Ten. She needs a lot more room. You can't contain her, damn it.
FXM has Deepwater Horizon featuring an awesome scene where Samuel Jackson gets eaten by a shark.
Okay, ISC has American History X, and which doesn't have the governor of Virginia.
BBC America has Alien.
Hey, H.R. Giger, where Sundance is showing First Blood and Rambo First Blood Part 2. Rambo 3 is dumb because there was never a movie called Rambo to start with, let alone 2.
Sci-Fi Channel has Thor, The Dark World. You know, the bad one.
Yep, indeed. But we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a pair of 12-year-old girls fall under the impression that a forest monster known as the Suzerain is real after looking up scary stories on the internet, and they believe they have the only way to protect their families, and they have to sacrifice their friend. Angela Kinsey, Drew Powell star in Terror in the Woods.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. Hope accuses Ben of abducting Sierra, and he's like, no, my M.O. is murder. Stefan risked his life to save Chloe's. Who knew Mateo could cause so much trouble? Oh, and they're gonna move in together. Sierra begs Jordan to help her escape.
Escape from my perfectly laid trap? Julie tries to persuade Abby to forgive Chad. And on behalf of all of us, please, cuz hashtag Chabby forever.
No blasted lettuce today.
No, because everyone's waiting to see if she's going to forgive him. Because no one, we can't, there's nothing else we can do at this point. I mean, my God, it could happen. It may, where's it going to go? I can't deal with this.
We can't predict it. It's a roller coaster, folks.
It is. But if you've got an idea, or if you've seen it by now, drop us a note and let us know. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could always call us up to tell us that, hey, dumbasses, because you recorded this earlier, I've seen it already, and this is exactly what it says. Hold on, let me play you the clip. Use the phone number of
510-GRD-CROW.
There's no way anything could go wrong with our listeners providing their own drops.
Tuning into Sci-Fi TV.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Brent Barrett.
I'm Kevin Batchelder.
I'm Wendy Hembrock.
The Viewer's Guide to Genre Television.
Welcome, everyone, to a special supernatural-focused bonus
Hello, everyone,
show.
And welcome to The Fae Files,
a family of podcasts for the genre-loving television viewer.
Welcome to Saturday B Movie Reel.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Study
welcome
Group.
Welcome to the top genre characters of all time countdown.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones Season 3.
Find us at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Hi, this is Granny Mahal. And you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. Thanks, Grant. Drop a hey, have yourself a muffin on the way out, won't you? That's fantastic. Of course he's here. Of course he is. Yeah, that's true.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, you don't. Maybe. But people do, and things are out today. What do we add to the collections, man?
Well, in our TV aisle, we've got Samurai 7, the complete series.
The Deuce, Season 2. It's number 2 of number 2.
We've also got the Americans complete series.
Power Rangers Super Ninja Steel complete.
No idea what season that would be. In our classic TV on DVD section, we've got Astro Boy, the complete series.
A-Team, the complete collection, if you can find it.
Oh man, I so want to get that. Mama's Family, seasons 1-6.
Lost in Space, the complete series. That would be the original show, not the new sexy robot Netflix one?
Correct. No, we just had a sexy Jonathan Harris. Also, Arrested Development, seasons 1-4. Man, that's such a good series.
From Must Be Anime, based on title alone, Free Iwatobi Swim Club, season 1.
My kids watch that. It's weird. It's about a swim club. No giant robots. Aww. We've also got Card Captura Sakura, Clear Card Part 1.
From our re-release department, John Wick's 1 and 2. I wonder why those are back out.
Yeah. Hellboy Animated. They've got the Sword of Storms and Blood and Iron. They are fantastic.
We also have the Before Street Fighter, the worst video game movie ever made, Double Dragon Special Edition.
Why is there a special? Star Trek 10 Movie Collection. That's Star Trek 1. Star Trek 2, Star Trek 3, Star Trek 4, Star Trek 5, Star Trek 6, Star Trek 7, Star Trek 8, Star Trek 9, Bonus Disc, and Star Trek 10.
Yes. Batman, the complete animated series. That's all the seasons. I will not number them for you.
From our theatrically released movie section, we've got The Sisters Brothers.
The Free Lunch Society.
Scooby-Doo and the Curse of the 13th Ghost. Finally answering the questions left behind from the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo series. Yes.
William the Conqueror.
Billy the Conk. Loved him. Electric Love.
The Long Dumb Road, which sounds like it should be a Flight of the Conchords album.
No kidding. We've also got Widows.
We have The Girl in the Spider's Web. You know, from that book and that movie series that you liked and read all that time ago. This is still her. Come watch the movie, please. That's the entire title.
The Cloverfield Paradox. So, you know, if you liked watching it on Netflix, you could watch it. Or you could just get the 3-movie collection that's available now. And so you've at least got 2 watchable movies.
My Dinner with Hervé. See the fantastic look at Hervé Villechaize having food as portrayed by Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. Oh, it's really good. It's definitely on par with the Liberace one. Yeah. We've also got the new Grinch, the one that was Illumination or DreamWorks. It's the one with Beeblebox Potato Slice.
We're going to be getting, though, a story of Frank Collins, who suffers from writer's block, so he decides to start a daycare for his father-in-law and other seniors as a way to make quick cash while giving him time to still work on his next book. And eventually, that small group, he's got to care for them. He learns these are not your typical seniors that can't be easily corralled, with a code enforcement officer challenging the legality of his business, and his senior charges getting into all kinds of trouble It's just crazy. It's Rainn Wilson, Clint Howard, Barry Bostwick, James Hong, and Danny Trejo in Granddaddy Daycare.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Cryptocurrency. Many folks trust it, but we here at GRD have been leery of it, and here's why. Canadian crypto exchange Quadrant CX says it cannot repay most of the $190 million in client holdings after its 30-year-old founder, Gerald Cotton, the only person who knew the passwords to its cold storage, unexpectedly died in India in December.
Did anyone try cold cash? Or cold hard cash? Or cold turgid cash?
In a sworn affidavit with the Nova Scotia Supreme Court, widow Jennifer Robinson said the Quadriga CX owes its customers $190 million both in cryptocurrency and fiat money, because fiats are expensive, and they filed for creditor protection because it cannot access the funds stored in cold storage because they have a much smaller amount in a hot wallet used for transfers.
What about a hard wallet? Or what about it?
The exchange holds roughly 26,500 bitcoins, and that's like 92 million in cash. 11,000 bitcoin cash, 1.3 million. 11,000 bitcoin cash SV, special victims, 707,000. And 35,000 bitcoin, which is 352,000. Nearly 20,000 in litecoin, about 430,000 ether, which is $46 million worth. I don't know, $147 million all locked up and cannot be accessed according to affidavits.
But no Pied Piper coin?
It's a damn shame. It was not clear what portion of the exchange's crypto holdings were kept in cold storage versus its hot wallet, but in the affidavit, Robinson explained only a minimal amount of coins were stored in the hot wallet, but specifics were not provided.
What about
Robertson also said that Cotton held sole responsibility for handling the funds and coins, and no other members of the team could access the stored funds. While Robertson has Cotton's laptop in her possession, she says she does not know the password, and a technical expert recruited by the firm has been unable to bypass its encryption. She also says Cotton left behind no business records.
Have they tried just a question mark? What about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? It's what I use on my luggage.
Two lessons. Cryptocurrency is still something to frown at, and now you can never laugh at your parents for having their Wi-Fi password on their fridge.
Maybe where your inheritance is locked up. Today marks a breakthrough for TV as a dream from the 1980s finally becomes a reality.
Videos are back on MTV. Small Wonders ready for the big time. Captain Power will actually send episodes from the future.
Well, more 80s at its core. Now, an audience of over 1 billion people worldwide is expected to tune into the Chinese state broadcaster's Spring Festival Gala, marking the Chinese Lunar New Year today. The four well-known human hosts will each be joined by an AI copy of themselves. In fact, their very own digital twin.
Cue the tentacles in 3, 2, 1.
The personal artificial intelligences, created by Oben Incorporated, are being touted as the world's first AI hosts. Clearly, they haven't seen Seacrest. Rather than simply being computer-generated avatars, AI technologies include machine learning, computer vision, natural language processing, and speech synthesis that have been used to rebuild the virtual copies of the celebrities from the ground up.
Are you sure this isn't a movie?
Oh no, this is totes legit. In fact, the company is already working to create AI-powered doctors, nurses, and teachers, as well as its highly publicized virtual celebrities.
So Robert Picardo could be my doctor.
Well, he could, but I don't think he's in your network. Now, James said that the idea came to him when he was looking for ways to stop his young children missing him when he was forced to leave home for long periods on business trips.
Which means Digi Daddies will be a service soon. Hey, didn't you accidentally rent that once?
Only 13 or 14 times. By the way, the acting is superb for a knockoff of Pokemoms. Anyway, neural net technology, built around deep learning principles, is used to take a recording of the subject's voice as input data, and personal data regarding the subject's behaviors and actions, and from that can recreate the speech patterns as well as aspects of their personality.
Have you any idea how successful censorship is on TV? And if you don't know the answer, successful, isn't it?
Another potential use being explored is retail, where Oben is working with leading Asian retailer K11 on the development of virtual concierge AIs to add an artificial human touch to the experience of online shopping. And other virtual touches that we'll leave to your imagination.
Which brings us to robot vacuums. They're a standard now, thanks to people with no time to do chores or very lazy people with no time to speak to other human beings.
Now, is this tied into the innuendo from the last story? Because if so, I feel we need to cue up a Jonathan Coulton song.
We always do. For more than a decade, iRobot, the company behind the Roomba vacuum bot, has been working on a robotic lawnmower and it finally has something to show for the effort, though it comes at a cost.
Tattered limbs all over the place. The horror. The horror.
The flat, square, autonomous grass cutter was unveiled last week and resulted in a protracted engineering struggle that included deadened experiments and a conflict with radio astronomers. iRobot CEO Colin Angle said his colleagues have been finding the question, so when are you going to mow my lawn, since they started doing the whole damn Roombas? But it turns out making one that doesn't mow down the flower beds is harder than it seems. In fact, they've been working on this so long, if you watch that 2008 movie 21 that's not that good, a robot lawnmower actually makes a scene in there where Angle plays a professor at MIT, announcing the winner of the robotics competition. Ha! It's like End of Days, but worse. Forrester consumer technology analyst Frank Gillette said, iRobot seems to have solved some of the technical difficulties of autonomously mowing the U.S. lawn culture standards, but he remains skeptical there's enough demand among American homeowners, many of whom are either proud of their push-mowing work or willing to pay someone else to do it.
God damn it, we're red-blooded Americans, and of course we want the thing that does the things for us.
And at least $1,000, you're going to need to use that robot to cut your grass 50 times, then you'll start making money on the deal. Never mind, they'll make their money on the tie-in with Ant-Man when Ultron comes back and hijacks the droid.
Last week, data miners found hints of a possible in-game set by electronic music DJ Marshmello, who is known for wearing a white suit and a white marshmallow-like mask.
Makes me think of Dr. Cube. Remember, kids, danger can happen.
Now, the EDM musician eventually announced a special event, including putting Pleasant Park on his tour schedule. You see, Pleasant Park is a place of interest in my current obsession, Fortnite.
They hit him with, like, what, a Tron beam and got him inside the game?
Nope. They had a dance party. Now, to make sure everyone had a chance to actually enjoy one of the many in-game events that happened, Epic Games disabled weapons melee in building, which kept the sweaty soccer skins and defaults from trolling people who came in to enjoy the event. Ah, suck it, bots. Now, those have been really bad issues in the past trying to enjoy an event, but in fact, the only mode available was Showtime mode, which featured flashing lights directing players to Pleasant and the awaiting stage. In the game, a countdown appeared on screen, and once it ended, a glowing yellow light appeared on the stage, and Marshmello himself came up through the stage behind the turntables.
Cool.
Dude, it really was. Look, in the lead-up, Fortnite had released a Marshmello skin and emotes, which many players donned for the concert. Some of them were also DJ Yonder, but that's something different. By the way, Marshmello is known to play Fortnite, so this wasn't just a cash grab by a casual. He even made sure to work out a deal so streamers on Twitch and YouTube wouldn't get copyright strikes for posting the event. And to kick everything off, a pre-recorded cheer played and Marshmello shouted, "Let me see everybody moving." That was the only part pre-recorded, as Marshmello was piped in live from his undisclosed location. The set began, and the screen behind Marshmello exploded with light and colors as electronic music played. There were hologram versions of him, cuddle team leaders, robots with Marshmello heads, sparks, fireworks. At certain times, he would call out for everyone to jump, and when everybody did, the gravity was reduced, causing everyone to bounce higher. At other times, the song would talk about flying, and then there was no gravity. Everybody was free-floating. Then sometimes, something as simple as doing your favorite emote was called out.
And then the dabbing occurred.
Well, yeah. But never mind the amazing things that Epic was able to trigger in the game, but they did it for nearly 10 million players. That's 10 million concurrent players all at the same time, all across the world. And that's not including those who are watching the streams of people like Dr. Lupo and Courage JD, who are in the 20K range of viewers, thus making this what will probably be the most viewed concert in history. And by the way, we'll be including the most enthusiastic version online by one of my favorite streamers in the shouts. Just watch it if you ever need a dose of joy. Courage's enthusiasm is infectious. Now, when the concert ended, all of the players were catapulted into the sky and returned to the Showtime match, throwing bullets at each other and boxing people in with traps. But then, of course, after the headshots, that's when the dabbing came again.
And for a sad note again, Julie Adams, an actress best known for playing the woman unknowingly swimming with a monster in the 1954 movie Creature from the Black Lagoon, died Sunday at age 92. She had a very long career in Hollywood. She starred opposite Rock Hudson in 1953's Lawless Breed, Van Heflin in 53's Wings of the Hawk, Elvis Presley in Tickle Me, and Dennis Hopper in 71's The Last Movie. Her most recent film credit was a voiceover in Roman Polanski's 2011 drama Carnage, which oddly enough is not about him. The Iowa native also had a long career in television, notably playing the Cabot Cove real estate agent Eve Simpson opposite Angela Lansbury in Murder, She Wrote. So, of course, she was on Perry Mason, Quincy, The Jimmy Stewart Show, as Jimmy Stewart's wife, but, of course, she's best remembered for her role in Creature from the Black Lagoon, essentially a horror movie update of Beauty and the Beast. She was first reluctant to do it despite being under contract at Universal. Quote, "I think the best thing about this picture is that we do feel for the creature. We feel for him and his predicament." Some folks that weighed in on it with some shout-outs included Patton Oswalt, who said, "Julie Adams has returned to the Black Lagoon. The scene of you swimming while the creature mirrored your moves underwater is every awkward heart yearning for someone in the sunshine to reach down and just see them. Iconic forever." And Guillermo del Toro, Billy the Bull, who said, "It hurts in a place deep in me where monsters swim." And that goes for all of us because you were certainly going to be missed. So Svengoolie, let's show this in the next couple of weeks, huh? Huh? Help some folks out. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works. United States 3.0 minor? That's not right. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com, which still doesn't have that word in it. It's like I'm leading up to something that I told you about a week ago. So very weird. Drop a note to us, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or you could always send a voicemail instead to
510-GRD-CROW.
And that's probably the last mistake I'll make for the next 20 minutes.
Peace out, player.
Well, that went well.
Attention, the arcade is now closed.
I think that's enough fun for one day.
It seems I found myself on a voyage of the damned.
Listen, ladies, it's been real and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Fooling about with it for a few months now. Very delicate.
It's a bit of a departure from the kind of thing you normally play.
Yeah, well, it's part of a trilogy, really, a musical trilogy that I'm doing in D minor, which I always find is really the saddest of all keys, really. I don't know why, but it makes people weep instantly to play a... It's a horn part. Yeah, just simple lines intertwining, you know, very much like I'm really influenced by Mozart and Bach, and it's sort of in between though. It's really, it's like a Mach piece, really.
What do you call this?
Well, this piece is called Lick My Love Pump.